Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is close to my second week of programming that I've done on the subject of a better way to pray. We're nearing the end of that second week, is what I meant to say. And I tell you, this teaching on a better way to pray is either going to infuriate people or set people free, because I've just been countering a lot of stuff that I believe are serious mistakes in this area of prayer. You know, prayer is something that every Christian knows they need to do, and every Christian does it to a degree. You know, we say that we outlawed prayer in school, but as long as there's test in school, there's always going to be prayer. You can't keep people from praying. Kids are praying. People are asking God for help. But there is a right and a wrong way to pray. And I really believe that the church is modeling a wrong type of prayer. And one of the ways that I believe I could verify that is just look at the results people are getting. I bet you if I was to go into any church, any group of people and start teaching on the subject of prayer, and if I started it by saying, how many of you pray and ask God when you have needs and you've got something that you're believing God for, I believe you, every hand would go up. And then if I was to ask, now how many of you have asked for things that you haven't received? I bet you that the majority of hands would go up. If I was to ask how many of you have asked for things that you haven't received, and it's been weeks, months, decades, many hands would still be up. There are a lot of people praying, and yet we aren't seeing the manifestation of the things which we prayed for. And yet the Lord said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So how do you harmonize this? We all pray. We all believe that we're supposed to receive. We've got promises that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it unto you. And yet, that is not the experience of most people. If you would just follow this and say that here's the fruit, well, then we can't have been truly praying the way that the Bible preaches, because it says that when you plant the right seed, you'll get this crop. You'll get your prayers answered. If our prayers aren't being answered, if everybody is frustrated, well, then there's got to be a reason for it. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the reasons are because we are still praying in the way that Old Testament saints prayed. There is a huge difference between the New Testament type of prayer and intercession and the Old Testament type of prayer. And I know that there's a lot of people that any time you go to talking about the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, there's a lot of people that just think, well, that's an easy way of dodging the truth. You just say anything prior to Matthew doesn't apply to us. And that's not what I'm saying. Man, I spend probably as much or more time studying the Old Testament than I do the New Testament. I am not saying that we just throw away the Old Covenant, but I am saying that there are things that are different. You don't stone your children anymore if they smart off to you. You don't go in and kill every person who does something wrong. You know what? That's what the Old Testament said that you did. But there is a difference. Jesus reconciled God unto man, and there is now a grace and a mercy evident in the New Testament that wasn't evident in the Old Testament. And there's a difference. And I really believe that much of our misunderstanding about prayer is because people haven't understood what Jesus really accomplished for us. They aren't seeing prayer through the eyes of the new covenant, through what Jesus has done. I've used the example of Abraham and Moses, and I've talked about how Abraham said, God, it's not right. It wouldn't be right for you. Aren't you a just God? It wouldn't be right if you judged the righteous people that are in Sodom along with the unrighteous people. Abraham basically interceded until God promised that if he could just find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't destroy it. Well, it turned out that there was only one righteous person there, and that was Lot. And so God did go ahead and destroy the place, but he did deliver Lot in response to Abraham's intercession. And some people take the example of Abraham interceding in Genesis chapter 18 and say that that's the way we have to intercede and plead for people today. But you know, it's not. And let me just say, I ministered this on my program yesterday out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that there is only one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus. Abraham, over in Genesis 18, was acting like a mediator. Here was God, here were the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were opposed to each other, and a mediator tries to reconcile parties that are opposed to each other and bring them into harmony. Well, Abraham operated as a mediator. He stood in between God and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and pled for mercy. Well, he got God where he came down to. If there was only 10 righteous people in that area, God would have spared them. Let me present this to you. Let me ask you this question. If Abraham was able to get God to spare an entire area because of only 10 righteous people, we don't know exactly how many people were in Sodom and Gomorrah, but I certainly believe that there was more than 100. I believe that there was at least 1,000 in that area, or possibly more than that. So 10 righteous people compared to 1,000 would only be, what would that be? 1%. And if Abraham was able to approach God and get God down to where if there was only 1% of godly people in that area, if Abraham could do that, don't you think that Jesus could do at least as well as Abraham did? If you forgot all of the other teaching and all of the things that I've been saying about how that Jesus reconciled God unto man and that God isn't imputing men's sins unto them, even if you don't buy all of that, which is scripturally correct, if you were to just look at it from this one standpoint, if Abraham got God to come down to where if there was only 0.1% righteous people, that he would have spared the entire area just because of that 0.1%. Well, if Abraham could do that, I can guarantee you Jesus did at least that well. I believe that he did it so that now God's wrath is totally appeased and God's wrath isn't going to be poured out upon anybody or upon any nation because Jesus made intercession for us and reconciled God unto man. And so if you just took this one thing right here and compared the intercession of Abraham and the intercession of Jesus, and if you just believe that Jesus did as well as Abraham, then you know what? I believe that all of this stuff about God is going to judge this nation, God is destroying. That's the reason for the September the 11th attacks. That's the reason for the hurricane. That's the reason for all of these things. It's the wrath and the judgment of God being poured out. You know what? If you just compared Jesus to Abraham, then I believe you'd have to say that there is at least 0.1% of the population of the United States that is godly. I believe that we are living in a great day of revival. Now, that revival is actually more manifest and evident in other places around the world than it is in the United States. But even in the United States, there's a lot of good. We don't hear about it because of our news media. It's so negative, and they just focus on all of the bad things. But there are a lot of godly people. I can guarantee you there is a minimum of 0.1% of the population of the United States or wherever it is that you live that has turned to God. And Abraham would have at least been able to intercede to the place of causing God to spare his judgment on those nations because of that. And I believe that Jesus did much, much better. I believe that Jesus is the mediator, the intercessor to end all of that type of intercession. You don't have to stand there and plead with God and beg for his mercy. It's been poured out because of the Lord Jesus. So because of all of this, if you try and pray the way that Abraham did, the way that Moses did, the way that so many people in the Old Testament prayed, you know what? You are not praying correctly. Let me use another Old Testament scripture that a lot of people sing this in their songs out of Psalms. Chapter 51, I believe it is. This is where David was repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And David said a bunch of things here that are quoted and sung about, but look at just a couple of these verses. In verse 7, this is Psalms 51:7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And people quote this. There's songs about this, and people use this all of the time. This is not a New Testament prayer. This is wrong for you to pray this way. And somebody says, well, what's wrong with saying, create in me a clean heart? Well, if you got born again, God did create in you a clean heart. It's not the fact that God hadn't done it. It's the fact that you aren't walking in what God has given you to do. And it says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Lord has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And yet you're going to pray some kind of a prayer like this? Did you know this was appropriate for David because he lived under a different covenant where God could walk away from you and could just forsake you and remove his Holy Spirit from you. But we live under a covenant where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For you to pray a prayer like what David prayed is exactly wrong for the New Testament believer. You shouldn't be praying this way. And that's what I'm saying about Moses. And that's what I'm saying about Abraham. I'm saying that we live under a new covenant that has given us so many great and exceeding precious promises that most of us just aren't taking advantage of. In a sense, I know this would be offensive to some of you, but in a sense, we might as well take in the name of Jesus off of the end of our prayer because we aren't praying through the new covenant. We're praying like an Old Testament man. I'm telling you, there is a better way to pray. I've got this book entitled A Better Way to Pray That Could Change the Body of Christ. I really encourage you to get one, not just for yourself, but for someone else. Most Christians today are still acting like old covenant people. They are trying to relate to God, to an angry God who hasn't yet paid the price for their sins. You know, in a real sense, like I was saying, people might as well take in the name of Jesus off of their prayer. Because when they pray, they aren't going through what Jesus has done. They're approaching God on the basis of their own performance and their own goodness, trying to force God to give it to them because they deserve it. Now, you may not use that terminology, but I've had people come to me by the hundreds, by the thousands, and they'll say things like, why hadn't God healed me? I pray, I fast, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I've done this and this and this. And you know what they're doing? They are trying to relate to God on the basis of what they have done, feeling that now I've lived holy enough, God owes this to me. And then they'll close that prayer with, in the name of Jesus. Boy, here's another startling statement. Did you know that praying that way and then tacking in the name of Jesus onto it is using the name of Jesus in vain? It's taking the name of God in vain. It really is. You aren't understanding what it's about. You're sitting there basically proclaiming your own goodness, saying, God, you owe this to me. I'm living holy enough. I've fasted. I've prayed. I've gone to church. Now you've got to do something because of what I've done in the name of Jesus. That's just voiding, making the name of Jesus, you're using it in vain. Well, I know I'm saying some very strong things here, but I'm saying that this is how deep this error has penetrated. It goes to the core of everything that we do. And I just don't know any way to take this out without causing some pain. You know what? It's like if you have a bullet or something in you, you're going to have to make an incision. It's going to cause some pain, but you've got to get that bullet out in order for the body to heal. Well, Satan, you know, our shield of faith hasn't been up. Some of these darts of the wicked one have stuck on the inside of us and they've got to be pulled out, and it may be a painful process. But I'm telling you, there's lots of people watching this program that have actually been using the name of Jesus in vain the way that you pray, because it's all about you and your goodness, and yet you tack in the name of Jesus on it. There's people who've been praying prayers just like David prayed right here, saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and yet you've been born again. And the Bible says that when you get born again, you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, old things pass away, all things become new. And on I could go with the scriptures. The truth is, God gave you a clean heart. It's just that you weren't walking in the spirit. You were walking in the flesh. But in the spirit realm, you still retain your right standing with God. You still have rights and privileges. And for you to revert back and pray the prayer that a man who wasn't born again prayed, and to say, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me, it's a useless prayer. At the very best, it's useless. At the very worst, it's an insult against God. It's offensive to God. You know what? I go into churches all the time and I hear people pray. And many times before I get up to preach, they'll take me into a back room and, "Oh, God, we ask you to be here. Oh, God, show up at this service. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, pour out your spirit." And they're pleading with God to be with us. And yet the Bible says, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And then he said in Hebrews chapter 13 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can be confident. And there's just so many promises. And yet we're praying, "Oh, God, come and be with us today." How's God going to answer a prayer like that? Is he going to leave so that he could come back and answer your prayer? Is he going to violate his promise that he'd never leave us nor forsake us? And I know some of you are saying, "Well, you're just, you know, kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. You're making a big thing out of this." Well, I'm just using this to illustrate how that we say we understand that there's a difference between the old and the new covenant. But in reality, in practice, most people pray just like a lost man. The, "Oh, God, come and be with us." And then as you end your service, you say, "God, just go with us as we leave this place." He said he'd always go with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Why would you pray for God to go with you if he said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world?" You know, the reason is that we don't believe the Word of God. The reason is that we are still influenced by some Old Testament prayers like what David did. And you know, it was okay for David because he wasn't a New Testament man. It's also written in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 64. It says, "Rend the heavens and come down." And I've heard this prayed in church. I've heard that exact phrase used. And people say, "Oh, God, rend the heavens and come down. Oh, God, pour out your spirit. Oh, God, send your power." Somebody says, "Well, what's wrong with that? Isn't it a scripture?" Yes, it's an Old Testament scripture. But what you're missing is that we live on this side of the cross, where God rent the heavens and came down to this earth through Jesus. And for you to say, "Oh, God, rend the heavens and come down," in a sense, what you're doing is saying Jesus wasn't enough. The first time you did this wasn't enough. We need it again. We need more. Jesus has expired. His potency has passed away, and we now need a new dose. We need a new Savior. Jesus didn't do enough. Now, I know that the things I'm saying are offensive to a lot of people, but I'm doing it on purpose because, in effect, this is what's happening when God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And you say, "Oh, well, I know that, but, oh, God, come be with us. God, touch us. God, go with us throughout this week. Oh, God, rend the heavens and come down." You're acting as if Jesus didn't change things. Jesus totally, totally, totally changed the way that God relates to man. And if you are acting as an Old Testament intercessor, I've used these examples of Abraham and Moses, and if you're telling God to repent, if you're asking God not to pour out His power, to have mercy, and if you're pleading with God to do something, then you are Antichrist. That doesn't mean that you are malicious in it. You may be deceived in it, but the word anti means against. You are against what Jesus has done. You are thinking it's not enough. It's not sufficient. It takes your added intercession to overcome. You've got to add to what Jesus has done. And I tell you, all of those things are offensive. You know, if I was God, I mean, it's hard to imagine these kind of things, but I'm just supposing, you know, if I was God and if I loved you so much that I literally took all of my wrath and all of my justice and judgment that you deserved, and if I put it upon my own son, and if I killed my own son so that you might live, and if I did that, and it was known to you what I had done, and then you came to me and you were still fearful that I was still mad, and you still couldn't believe that I would treat you right, and so because of it, you wouldn't come around me, you wouldn't take advantage. If I made that huge of a sacrifice, and then you didn't take advantage of it because you were still acting just as if I hadn't have paid that price, you know what? It would break my heart to think that I made that much of a sacrifice and it still didn't accomplish what needed to happen. I can guarantee you, when God sent Jesus and paid for the sins of the world, it more than compensated for every sin that the world has ever committed. We talk about how bad these sins are, but you just don't understand how great the price was that was paid. The price that Jesus paid is infinitely greater than the offense. It's infinitely greater than the debt that was owed. And Jesus has totally satisfied the wrath of God. And so for you to be saying that God is about to judge this nation and destroy us because of this, and God is the one that's causing these natural disasters, and God's the one that's making people have these sicknesses and diseases, and God is doing all of this. You may not make this connection, but because I've studied the Word, I do, that you know what? You are just in a sense saying that Jesus didn't pay the price. Jesus isn't enough. I'm telling you, Jesus more than paid the price. Jesus is the only mediator. And for you to stand there and act like Abraham and like Moses did, it's wrong. It's wrong. If Moses was alive today, first of all, he would be so thankful and appreciative, and he would understand what Jesus did, that I guarantee you he wouldn't act the way that he did in the Old Testament. But if he tried to intercede that way, I guarantee you God would rebuke Moses for exactly what he did in Numbers chapter 16, in Exodus chapter 32. He would rebuke Abraham for the way that he prayed in Genesis chapter 18. And somebody's probably thinking, oh, no way. That would never happen. Well, we find in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 9, verse 52 and following there, that Jesus' disciples tried to call fire down out of heaven the way that Elijah did, and Jesus turned around and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Jesus said that the Son of Man didn't come to destroy man's life, but to save them. If Jesus would have been present in 2 Kings chapter 1, where Elijah called fire down out of heaven, he would have rebuked Elijah for doing that. It was appropriate at the time. It was okay at the time because they were living under a covenant of wrath and judgment. But once Jesus came, the wrath of God was pacified, satisfied. God is not angry anymore. And because of that, for you to act the way that Elijah did, the way that Abraham did, the way that Moses did, the way that David did, you would be wrong and you would not be esteeming Jesus and understanding the difference that He's made. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you are going through what Jesus did. And Jesus forever changed the way that we relate to God. In the Old Testament, God wasn't known as our Father. He was known as God Almighty and Judge and all of these other things. But in the New Testament, there is an intimacy, a familiarity, all because of what Jesus did. And I'm telling you, most believers aren't taking full advantage of our New Testament way to pray. So that's what I'm teaching on, is a better way to pray. I'm going to have to end here today, but I am going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in then. And also, I'm offering a lot of materials. I've got this book. It's now out in Family Christian Bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, Borders, Books A Million, and you can order this. So please take advantage of these products, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The second audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY22 titled, Jesus is the only mediator when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, it's only the people who've supported us that have allowed us to be on television all around the world. We spend over $1 million a month on television airtime, and I couldn't do that if it wasn't for people who believe in this message and who are receiving, and they want to see other people set free.
It really totally changed my walk with the Lord, my ability, changed my life. One of His favorite phrases to say, and He really did change my life with His teachings.
And I started listening to Him, and it just amazed me what was coming out of Him. The grace of God, which I had heard when I first got saved, but had gotten a whole bunch of mixture.
We started pulling out Andrew's tapes, and we were like, where have we been? This is amazing. And so His teaching changed our lives.
So if you haven't yet become a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about that. And then we have a number on your screen you can call and you can sign up. And I'd like to encourage you to become a monthly partner with the Gospel Truth Television Ministry. It would be a blessing to you, and you would help us to reach people all around the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Karis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Karis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There's also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Karis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Karis Bible College Campus Days.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Jesus is now the only mediator between God and man. And if you try and become a mediator, like Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 says that Moses was a mediator, if you try and pray the way that Moses prayed, well, then you are taking the place of Jesus. You are anti-Christ. You are anti-Jesus. You are standing against His intercession, thinking it's not enough and that you've got to do something more.